episode 67 of
Brutal Battle.
And that is Mark. Mark is back. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on, Mark.
No problem.
You are filling the role of old Kyle right now.
Yes, yes.
Sitting in his spot on our awesome
with half the
couch.
Knowledge of all your other guests.
Half the knowledge.
Probably more than half.
Well,
I am a noob.
Mark is a relative noob to craft beer, but I think
it's been about a year.
I think you're coming along.
Over a year.
Yeah. I really do think you're coming along. So, one quick housekeeping note to throw out there. The last episode, we tried Wake and Bake by Terrapin Brewing, and I had forgotten to reach into the bottom of the bag when we revealed it, because there was a note in there saying that it was from our listener, Stu Williams. He had sent that one in. So, sorry, Stu, for the screw-up. I should have said it then. I'm correcting it now. So, Stu sent in the Wake and Bake, so thank you, Stu.
Terrapin local?
Terrapin is out of Georgia, I believe. Georgia. Yeah, I think Georgia. Athens, Georgia, if I'm correct. You know.
I figured Maryland Terrapins. But,
right.
You know,
that would
whatever,
make sense.
I'm wrong, as usual.
That would have made sense if someone around here had decided to open a Terrapin Brewing.
Right.
But I guess they got it first down in Georgia. Yeah. I think they have Terrapins down there. So, might be the reason. But let's go ahead and get out of the way our typical first entry into the show, the hop knowledge. Mark's just laughing.
It's hop-alicious.
Laughing to himself. It's hop-alicious. Today's hop is the Golding hop, originally from England. Description is floral and earthy with a slight spiciness, gentle and fragrant. Details on that, it originated in Kent, England. Called East Kent Golding if it's grown in East Kent, England. It's called Kent Golding if grown in Mid Kent, England. Interesting. So the East and then just Kent. Best example of a typical English flavor hop, apparently. Uses are bitterness, flavor, as well as aroma. And substitutions for this hop, Fuggle, Progress, and Whitbread Golding variety. I haven't even heard of the Whitbread one. Anyway, two examples of beers made with Golding hops. Victory Brewing's Golding Glow, which I've never had, and BrewDog's IPA is Dead, which I've also never had. But I'd like to try them. They sound interesting.
Is BrewDog's those the same guys from the TV show?
Yep.
Okay, is that what their name is? Okay.
The TV show BrewDog's. Which, by the way, I mean, that's kind of a perfect segue. Have you watched much of that show?
I watched maybe like the first five, and then I don't remember them coming on again, and then I just kind of tuned out. It's also on Esquire, which is an HD, and that's one of my, I can't stand
peeve.
Watch, yes.
That's
non-HD,
HD.
Bugs the living hell out of me. Right. So
I could see that, you know. There was a time where I was like, I don't care about HD. Everything else is fine, but then I started watching things in HD, and now it's like you go to the regular, and you're like, "Oh my god!"
And not to mention all the audio is sort of like off, so you have to turn down your volume because it's not HD audio either.
Very, very true on that.
But enough of that.
I think BrewDog's had like they had like five or six episodes in their first season.
Okay, that might, I probably saw the first five. Yeah.
Like a lot of shows, I think they do a small amount of episodes for the first season just to see if people actually like it, and then they'll do more later. But I know they are recording more right now.
Okay.
I had heard of one brewery that they went to, and I think maybe they went to Cigar City in Florida. I'm not 100% on that, though.
Oh, okay.
But they're working on it at the moment. But I really enjoyed the first season because it's not just like, hey, we're going here and we're going to brew beer. It's they go to a location, they learn about, you know, what that city is about.
Right.
And, you know, some stuff about its history. And then they try to piece together, like, a meaningful beer based on that kind of stuff. And they're working with an existing brewery in the area. And then I really like the little, like, side trips that they do to, like, convert craft beer virgins.
Right. And I hope that's real and genuine, because you know about those reality shows.
They do stage a lot of reality shows. So
I'm hoping that that's all genuine reactions to
I hope so
beer.
As well. I do as well.
Because there's those Sam Adams commercials. I don't know if you've seen those where they're blind tasting and like, this is a Sam Adams. And you can tell they're craft beer guys that are drinking them. And they're like, oh, I'd order this Sam Adams. And it's like, is this for real, or do you have like a 20 in your pocket from them?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just, you know, is it genuine or not?
Or maybe they're like, we'll give you free beer.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, that's the problem. I feel like commercials, reality shows, like, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe because you feel like they could be pulling one over on you.
Right.
Ever since it got out that they script some of that stuff, I think you're just always like, I don't know.
Because at the end of Brewdog, they have to do that dump it or keep it or something.
They're
like,
never going to say
well,
dump
that's
it.
What I'm saying. It's that's like, the thing. You got to throw one of those in there. You got to throw a curveball at some point. Because then it's just like, are they really always making a great beer? And yeah. I know that they're, but they're using these kind of absurd ingredients sometimes. Yeah, it's like, are they that great or do we just have to do this because it's TV? Right.
Anyone who hasn't actually seen the show, at the end of each show, when they finish the batch of beer that they're working on, they have a bunch of people try it, like random people who show up to the brewery. They have them try it, and then they have, on the count of three, everyone say, dump it or drink it. And every time, it's overwhelmingly, drink it. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say dump it. But the thing is, there's no way anyone's going to say dump it, because
it's
they know...
TV show.
Either they're told by the producers, say dump it, or... They might not even need to be told that, because most people would be like, oh, okay, it's for a TV show, and they would censor themselves, or be like, I don't want to be the one jackass on the show saying dump it when everyone else says drink it. Plus just the celebrity factor of Martin Dickey and James Watt, the two brewers from BrewDog and owners. So, interesting.
Yeah.
But actually, since we're on the topic of BrewDog, one quick side note, something that I wanted to bring up. They... brewed a beer called Hello, My Name is Vladimir, and it's geared at Vladimir Putin, and they made it up after...
I was thinking Vlad the Impaler, but...
No,
you know,
but that's
okay.
That would be cool as well. The original inspiration for Dracula.
Well, there you go.
But Hello, My Name is Vlad was basically made because Vladimir Putin had made comments about homosexuality being terrible and unethical and, you know, all those things. So... in order to take a jab at them, they made this beer, and they have the... I don't actually have the description. I should have thought ahead to get that queued up, but they had this long description of, like, him being overly manly on the beer, and the beer is, like, a hot pink label, so it looks, like, very feminine, and the box that they ship in is, like, hot pink as well. So one of the cool things that they did is they actually... shipped a case to the Kremlin in Russia after they finished it.
Very interesting.
I thought it was funny because Martin Dickey and James Watt, they do a lot of kind of like beer protest related stuff and kind of like awareness of social issues. So I commend them for that. I think it's cool and I think it's fun. And obviously that's a very like craft beer punk rock thing to do, which is cool.
Ah. And I'm going to guess that in Maryland you can't get BrewDog stuff.
You can, actually. Wow. Yeah. A lot of, I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of liquor stores carrying it, but one of the things is a lot of the times they separate the domestic craft beers from international beers.
Oh, okay, so you're not looking for that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what you and I go to Wine World mainly, and I know that it's a whole different section for anything international, and that's where the BrewDog beers are.
Okay.
And for that reason, they've actually not sold BrewDog too well there because, I think it's because of that. I think if you took it and you put it in with the other craft beers, that it would sell a lot better because people just, when they're going in, they think craft beer and they look to one location because that's where the majority of it is.
Right.
They walk to the international beers and they're seeing things like Wells and Young, which really isn't much craft beer. So
you're putting like your macro, micro, just because it's international, you're lumping it into the same section.
Yeah, I think if it's craft beer, whether it's domestic or international, it should all go in the same area.
Okay.
Craft beer is craft beer, in my opinion. And then the macros should all be in one area.
Makes sense.
Then you can have, like, an in-between section.
Right.
But I honestly don't think that people who run liquor stores think that hard about it.
Right.
To be honest. But anyway... that's why we need people who run liquor stores to be even more knowledgeable about craft beers and the brewing process. It would help out greatly for nerds like us.
Although that's probably not where they make their money. So.
No. They make their money on the macros and the hard liquor. And
their 30-pack.
Alcoholics is what they make it on mainly. So, we do have a warm-up beer for this episode. We have the second Game of Thrones beer, which has been out for some time now. I just haven't gotten to it. And I thought What better time than when Mark comes on to try this? He's a Game of Thrones fan.
Yes.
And he has, I believe you tasted this beer.
I have
before.
Not had
this. Oh, you have?
I have it. I just haven't opened it.
He's doing the whole, I'm getting it and collecting it, may or may not open it. I'm doing the whole getting them to collect and drinking them and then just keeping the empty bottles.
Unfortunately, I don't have the first one, so it kind of makes it all for naught.
Iron Throne. Ale, which we had on the show a bunch of episodes back, so if you want to know what it was like, you can go back and listen to that episode. But we do have the Game of Thrones Take the Black Stout in front of us by Omegang out of Cooperstown, New York. So we'll go ahead and try this sucker and see how that is. And if you're interested, stay tuned for the next episode after this, where Mark will also be with us, and we'll try the newest Game of Thrones beer, the Fire and Blood Red Ale. Yeah. So we'll be doing that one. All right, the Game of Thrones Take the Black Stout. Actually, let's go ahead.
Get 7 points.
Yeah, let's go ahead and smell it and taste it and see what we get out of it, and then I'll read kind of what's on there. Smelling it. It doesn't smell like a typical stout.
No, it does not.
Which, honestly, doesn't surprise me, because Omegang pretty much always does some sort of variation of a Belgian-style beer.
Oh, okay. Not what I, because I have read the ingredients, and there's a particular ingredient I don't like.
Is it anise?
It's that black licorice. Good thing I don't smell it on here.
That's, I get a slight scent of the anise, but it's really just on the end of the nose, and it's not very, very pronounced.
Right.
I'm not a black licorice person myself, but if things like anise and fennel has a little bit of like a licorice-y flavor to it too. When you have those types of things in food or in drink or whatever, if it's properly balanced with everything, I'm okay with it. But if it's real strong, I can't really take it. But it smells a little chocolatey.
I do smell the chocolate. I don't.
But it also smells a bit like a Belgian beer. So it's kind of like, it just seems like a Belgian wheat ale mixed with your typical kind of like chocolatey, roasty stout. With a little bit of anise on the end.
Interesting.
Does that smell accurate?
I would say so, because I don't smell too much of outside of the chocolate. I don't smell too much. Like, there's not much of a...
The chocolate's pretty pronounced.
It smells good, though. Like, it definitely...
I'm going to be honest, it's got a hell of a head on it, too. Yeah. I don't really see that.
I actually had a very
usually.
Thick something. I don't know what that is floating in the top.
What is it? It's a turd. Okay. No. That's probably actually a chunk of yeast that was at the bottom because it's unfiltered. So yeah, because I went between the two glasses to fill it out, so we each got a little bit of the yeast.
Okay.
Yours is sitting on top. All right, well, let's try this beer. Yeah. That's interesting. It's it is like a Belgian wheat style mixed with a bit of a stout.
I really like it. I really do.
Well, it's interesting because it looks so dark. It looks like a typical stout, and the head is very thick and tan, which is typical for stouts. But when you sip it,
it's not too thick, no.
Yeah, the mouthfeel is a little less than you're expecting from a regular stout, and it's kind of refreshing up front because it has those kind of Belgian-y notes to it at first. And then it kind of finishes with the dark malts.
Kyle didn't like it so much.
Oh, you had
what he said. Maybe that's, you know, you're going into it expecting some sort of Belgian. He maybe was going into affecting a full-on stout. And, you know, maybe he's feeling this watered-down stout instead of... I'm quite enjoying it, though.
It's pretty good. It's got a bit of an astringency on the finish, but not too terrible. It is 7% alcohol.
So there shouldn't be too much, which is...
This might taste a little, to me, like maybe around 8%. So it's a little bit inappropriate for what the actual alcohol by volume is, but I can forget it.
Down in the back of your throat.
Yeah, it gives you a little heat from the alcohol. I can forgive it, though. It's not too off-kilter, honestly.
But I do quite enjoy this beer. Mm-hmm. This is probably the best beer I've had in a while.
You know, I'm
being
honest.
In terms of a stout.
I don't really taste any sort of anise or anything, but I do.
No.
You get a little bit of the chocolatiness, and I think it finishes kind of coffee-ish, which is a really nice kind of lingering finish for it. I do like it. It is pretty good. I'll sip on that. So I'll read the information on the bottle. It's the Take the Black Stout for anyone who's familiar with Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire, as the series of books are called by George R.R. Martin. Take the Black Stout refers to the people who man the wall, the division between Westeros and
the
Wildling North, basically. And they are the crows, and they take the black. When they take the black, it's when they go to do service at Castle Black, where they watch out for the bad guys, basically. So it says on the bottle, Omegang ales are incomparable, yielding unique flavors and aromas. Inspired by deep insight into Belgian brewing and infused with Omegang's creative upstate New York spirit, each ale offers perfect balance and pure drinking pleasure. Then there's a description on the other side that says, a stout as dark as the winters that once engulfed Westeros. As robust as the men who swear their oaths at the Werewood tree, chocolate and caramel sweetness are balanced by hot bitterness, roasty, woodsy notes, and an earthy finish. Pour slowly to not disturb yeast sediment. Well, I screwed that up. But with vigor to make a luxurious head and free the bouquet. And it actually has the HBO logo on it because it is sanctioned by HBO. Was commissioned by HBO, I should say. Well done, Omegang. We enjoyed this. I think it's...
And you enjoyed the first one, so...
Yeah. Actually, Kyle and I really enjoyed the first one, because when you think...
So they're two for two.
Yeah, when you think a blonde ale on the first one, you think a little humdrum. You know, nothing fantastical. But as far as blonde ales go, it was kicking. Like, it was good. It had a lot of flavor that you don't expect coming from a golden ale. And I think they did a good job with this one. The first one, the Iron Throne Ale, was very limited in its release, like super limited. I know Maryland only got like 30 or between 30 and 35 cases of it total, which is not a whole lot. They really picked up their production for the Take the Black Stout because they wanted to reach more people. I guess on the first one, they just didn't know how popular it would be.
Right.
And then I know they increased it maybe even a little more for the Fire and Blood. But that said, let's talk about what Rebecca's potentially doing with this beer. I left some of the beer with Rebecca so she could sip on it, and she is doing something interesting. Everyone at her office, well, not everyone, but a bunch of people are doing a Game of Thrones death pool. Have you ever heard of this, Mark?
I've heard of a death pool, but not usually a celebrity death pool or something of that nature.
Which is significantly more morbid because
it's real life as opposed to Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is, you know, when we're recording this, the fourth season is in full swing. It's three episodes, about to be four episodes in. And some people at our work decided, hey, let's go ahead and do a death pool competition. Everyone throws in $20. Everyone picks 10 characters and you rank them 1 to 10. And 10 being your highest value. So that's how many points you would get if that person dies. So then they're just going to, everyone submits it before the show this coming week. And then they're going to keep track of who has the most points based on the deaths. So... She went through Internet Movie Database and wrote down every character from the show that's still alive. That's what I told her to do. I was like, this is what I would do. And then she's going through and she's just kind of looking through and...
she's like, who is this again?
Yes,
who is that again?
Exactly. Asking me a few questions. And right. I've gone through the book, so I'm not giving her any real hints on anything. I'm just telling her only stuff that's already happened in the show.
Right.
And not putting emphasis on anything. So I'm just letting her ask me general questions like, who is this person related to? How do they fit into what's going on currently? What are they doing right now? Just that kind of stuff. So she's currently working on going through her list and crossing people off to try and figure out who's left that she thinks will be dead. So I told her, hey, why don't I leave you some of the Take the Black Stout? You can sip on it. Maybe it'll inspire you.
Yes.
So
I can imagine someone who's read the books and just sees like certain names that, you know, even though it's a TV show, aren't going to die because like, the story would just kind of stop. There are certain characters where the story would just stop. So, because in the books, you know.
Like Hodor, right?
Yes, exactly.
Hodor.
Each chapters are, you know, the first name, the names are the head of the, they're written their
yep.
point of view. So, you know, there are plenty in the later books where it's heavily based on certain characters. And it's like, you think he might die, but no. It'd yeah. be funny to just look at that list and laugh at some people who are way off base.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, she's been throwing things out to me saying, you know, I think I'm going to do this person, or I think I'm going to do this. And I just have to, no reaction, you yeah. know. But in my mind, in some of them, I'm like, oh, God, you couldn't be more wrong. And right, some right. I'm like,
I can ding, think ding, of ding. Someone right now who is very, you know, close. And I'm sure everybody's like, ah, and it's like, no.
But so, the thing is, George R. R. Martin's writing.
He flips the script quickly exactly. on somebody.
So you really don't know what's truly going to happen.
Right,
He spices it up all the time, so you're... It's hard. It's hard to know. But I'm excited because when they get everyone's submissions, they're going to email them out to everyone. And I asked Rebecca if I can look through all of them, and then I'll be able to know.
There's going
to
be somebody that's completely right that read the books and didn't tell anybody. And you're yeah. going to be like, yeah, this guy read the books.
You know there's always one person yeah. who's going to try and cheat. So yeah. we'll see. I'll know if I look at those lists and I find one where, like,
right. they have I guess every that's person. The unfortunate thing is you can easily cheat because you know, yes. the books have been written.
It's well, all it's all honor code, you know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just don't be a scumbag, you know. Yeah.
It's gonna be funny when he when the show catches up with the book, because maybe he gets the next book out in time. After that you're kinda gonna be left hanging for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what's gonna happen there unless they just continue on with the TV show, because he's given them the main plot points.
Yeah.
Their endings, and then he kind of writes the book, which would be kind of disappointing because I would like to read the book before I watch the show.
I'm in the same boat with you.
I mean, I watched the first season, and then I read the book, like, all of them straight through, and then caught up with the second season.
So George R.R. Martin, I want to say get to work, yeah. but at the same time, I feel bad saying that because you don't really want to rush someone,
right.
because then they're going to put out crap.
Yeah.
And his stuff is so genius. Anyway, that was fun. We have beer A and beer B in front of us, so it's time to get down with the get down, as they say, and
yeah.
do the brutal battle thing. So, let's go to beer A. Looks like a golden ale, honestly.
It does.
Looks very straw, very yellow straw color.
Very urine.
Yeah, looks like someone who's very dehydrated. Has a very white head to it.
Not much of a head.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot. So, you can see right through it. There's no haziness to it, really. Let's see what it smells like. Ooh, lemony.
Yeah, definitely lemon.
Ooh, there's something else in there that is kind of weird.
Doesn't smell good, ooh, whatever it little, is.
It smells a little dirty.
That's a good description. I was going to say, like, trash that's left over for a couple days. But
I'm going to be honest, it does
that's
have...
That's a Kyle description.
Yes. I know. Thank you, your channel,
dirty
Kyle.
Socks or a dish, wet the dish rag, that was it.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of has that... a little bit of a sour dish rag scent to it, it really does. Oh God, that's kind of off-putting.
Yeah, like a some kind of raw meat, expired meat. That's...
Yeah,
I'm dreading tasting this one.
It's got a typical wheat scent to it as well. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of dreading
it.
Tastes
better though.
Well, let's go ahead and try.
It smells some kind of fruit too.
Lemon. I was getting lemon, like some lemon rind in there.
It smells something else.
Yeah, I was getting something else too, but I really can't pick out what it is. Some sort of spice is what I was getting. Maybe some coriander actually. Yeah, it smells like coriander. Nutmeg. That's what it is. Yeah, coriander. Okay, well, let's go ahead and taste it. That's not terrible.
I feel like I've had this beer before. Or maybe they just, all these kind of have that same sort of...
I'll tell you what, I taste coriander.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very
I
light.
I taste some kind of berry, too. I don't know.
Possible. There is a little, kind of like the slate fruitiness on the end.
Blackberry or blueberry or...
Hmm.
I've had this beer before.
I probably have as well. It's very crisp. It's very clean.
It's sweet. You definitely don't get that dirty smell in the taste. So
yeah, yeah. The smell's a little odd, but actually the taste is not bad.
This would be a nice summer beer.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward, easy sip and brew. I'm not hating it.
Like, this is more easy sipping than like a macro.
Yeah.
Like a Miller Lite. Like, it's sweet. Like, I don't think it's sweet enough to, like, my wife would like it. Like, she likes your woodchucks and your ciders. Yeah. Like, this kind of has, like, maybe a cider taste to it. But there's also that bit of funkiness that she'll get that she would just be like, nah.
You gotta be okay with coriander. Because the more I drink it, the more you're getting, like, it is a significant amount of coriander in the flavor. It's not bad though. It's not bad. Let's jump over to B. B is much different. It's like an orangish amber coloration. A little bit hazy to look through, but you can see through it if things are close enough. So that's what the coloration's like. Let's see what. Ooh, smells like honey.
That
usually not a good thing.
Honey, yeah, like your honey grams, like your Teddy grams type things.
It smells like smacks.
Honestly, that's what I get, is that like a
but there's a berry in there.
Like, if
too.
You were to open up like a like pack of Teddy grams,
kind of smells like cherry-ish.
Yeah, I do get a cherry.
Is that cherry?
Wait, is it more like a fig? Like,
okay. Yeah. Actually, you're totally
like
on.
I'm
with
smelling
that.
Fig Newton. That's what I'm smelling on here.
Good call.
Newton.
It is very figgy.
I got something right. How about that?
No, crap.
Or is it something else?
Smell on it a little more. Does it smell like fruit roll-ups?
I can smell fruit roll-ups.
Smells like fruit roll-ups.
This has a very interesting smell to it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually.
Like honey, fig, fruit roll-up, Teddy Grahams.
It actually smells like a strawberry fruit roll-up to me right now. But, you know, like, not like a... It doesn't smell like real strawberry. It smells like artificial strawberry.
Right, I guess that's your concern, is that you get that artificial taste to it.
And the thing is, you know that with like, fruit roll-ups, they don't... It's not... Like, when it's strawberry, it's not, like, straight strawberries. They have, like, artificial flavors in there, but they also have, like, apple in there to, like, round things out. So, it smells like that because it's kind of like a mixture of, like,
so you might
strawberry...
have a combination of some...
Yeah, like, strawberry brought down with apple and...
So the ingredients might have some artificial...
It smells interesting. It's really interesting.
I don't mind the smell. And there's nothing bad about it. It's just... It fakes your nose out.
It really does.
Like, you're smelling something... Like, you first get honey, now you're getting fig, and then fruit roll-up, and then...
For that reason, I'm actually very intrigued, and I'm kind of enjoying the nose now because of that, because it is like you're peeling back the layers as you sniff it. All right, I'm ready to try this.
Tastes exactly how it smells.
It kind of does. It's so light.
Yeah, it's two very light beers here.
Well, we have turned the corner with the season, so...
I haven't...
This is very unique. It kind of does taste like a fruit roll-up, but it's not extremely pronounced. It's kind of just like... a hint on the end of fruit roll-up.
But it's a little too watered. Like there's not much presence in terms of the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
As soon as you swallow it, there's nothing there. It's all on your tongue. And then after that, I don't feel anything. Neither of these did I feel any alcohol presence whatsoever.
Right.
So you gotta imagine they're six or under.
I think beer B has more of a mouthfeel than A does, but it is also a darker beer, so that should be the case. I hear what you're saying about it kind of like falling off your palate. It kind of does, but it also leaves...
Like, I guess the A has that more carbon, like when you drink a soda, you feel that carbonation down your throat.
Correct.
That's how you feel with A. B, you sort of lose the carbonation as soon as, you know, you swallow it.
I agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to go back to A. Man, A is like coriander, like...
I mean, neither of these are bad beers, and I could see, like, if someone offered me, I'd drink it, but wouldn't purchase a six-pack of it, that's for sure.
God, B is confusing. But I don't hate it either. It's kind of interesting.
A, it's just, I feel like A, I've had A or something like A, so it feels like the same old, with that. As opposed to B, this is something very different.
It's very new to my palate as well, and it's intriguing.
And it's like, how do you rate something that's new?
I know, that's what I'm actually struggling with right now. It's kind of like, because it's unique, do I put it up a little more?
I think I have my numbers.
Actually, B is interesting. I can't give it too high, though. I know what A's going for, and they did a decent job. Okay. All right, do you want to take the lead on A? What do you?
I'll give A a 3.
That's actually exactly what I was going to give.
It wasn't, you know, it just, it's unfortunately, it's the same old, I feel like, you know. Coriander seems to be the type of spice that they put in these types.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's coriander. Like, right. It's coriander. All right, and do you know what you want to give B?
But I will say about A real quick is that this tends to have that dirty dishwash taste too, and I don't taste it in there. So
yeah, I don't taste it. Maybe they did it. I don't taste it either. It's a clean beer. Right. I mean, it's very clean. They did a good job with what they're aiming for.
B. I'm going to go 4.
You're going 4? I was actually going to go 4 as well.
I was going to go 5 because it's really that interesting.
I was between 3 and 4, and then I was just like, no.
Well, we can either both give a 4, or you can give it a 3, I can give it a 5, and then it's a 4. So.
Well, and my thing, my struggle with it was, do I give it a 3 because I'm going to give A a 3? And I'm like, no, well, I actually think
B is a better beer than A.
B's more interesting. I would go to B before I would go back to A, mainly because of, you know, the style, honestly, and the coriander flavor to it. So really, B just has the slight edge of being more unique. So not that, you know, whoever brewed A did a bad job, because I'm going to be honest, I think both these breweries did a good job.
Yeah. Sure.
And
unfortunately, a 3 out of 10 doesn't sound like it.
I know.
But in the context of Brutal Battle,
it's all about the context and the expectations.
And what, you know, particular beers people like.
Exactly. You know, I'm not going to give.
These are both well-brewed beers. If you're going to give, you know, if it's a well-brewed IPA, it might push it to the 5 or 6 territory. Same thing with Stout.
Yeah. You need to know that on this show, if there's a Pilsner on there, unless you're doing something crazy to the Pilsner, it's not going to get like an 8 or something like that. Right. You know, it's not going to get way up there. Which is, you know, that's kind of crappy of me, but
I mean, it's in the context of things.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's, you know, we give the numbers and sometimes
they're
harsh.
Don't be sad, breweries.
Yeah, don't be sad.
Unless it was, because you'll hear it. Like, don't go by the numbers, go by what we're saying. The numbers are sort of arbitrary. It's what we're saying. If we didn't say these were bad beers.
Yeah.
And if they were, they'd be getting a 1.
That's the thing. We give the number, but then we also talk about
what we're thinking. You got to listen to the entire 30 minutes.
Yes, that's why it's important. Usually more than 30
minutes. Or 35 to 40. Or...
So breweries, seriously, send us your stuff. You can get in contact with Brutal Battle.
You can have me taste it.
Exactly. These awesome taste buds.
Yeah.
Just send an email to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. And you can let us know, if you want to send us something, we'll give you an address, and we're open to tasting everything. You know, Sweetwater Brewing out of Georgia already sent us something to try, and we had it on the show and it did well. And they, I'll tell you right now, they were so happy with the episode because
they listened to it.
Yes, they did. I sent them an email letting them know, and they're like, we'll listen to it. The next week they sent me more of the beer. Just as like a, you liked it? Here, have some more.
And that's the thing. It's like, send us a beer because, you know, the Take the Black Stout didn't get a number, but it was discussed thoroughly.
Right.
These and For the Blinds get a number. So, you know, don't be scared of the number if you're sending us beer because it's not going to get rated that way. It's not going to get rated at all.
And here's the challenge. Send me a Pilsner that I'm going to think is awesome.
Ah.
Because since I just talk crap about Pilsners.
They'll just put like an IPA in a Pilsner bottle. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, they could do that. And they might fool me. I don't know. Right. Hope not. Okay. So we'll reveal A first with an overall 3. Do you want to take any guesses on the brewery or anything like that?
No. I feel like I've had it before. I feel like I've had it on this show before or something.
That's possible. I don't think I've had it.
Perhaps I had it during the little mini festival they had at Friendship Liquors.
It's possible. I definitely feel like I, too, have had this beer at some point. Tastes familiar. Well, let's see. The loser of this episode, but not a bad beer, with an overall 3, beer A is... Oh, it's Cellar Door by Stillwater. It's an American farmhouse ale brewed... It's a wheat ale brewed with white sage.
Interesting.
It's typically...
Way off.
Yeah, I guess the what was being interpreted by us as coriander was actually white sage. I'm going to be honest, I've never been able to pick white sage out before. I've never smelled
it. Well, and that's the thing with obscure ingredients is, you know, your palate is trained to pick out stuff. You know, coriander is in a lot of this, so you're trained. You're not going to be like, oh, wait, this is sage, you know?
Yeah,
unless
you're,
like, keened in on what sage tastes like.
But this is by Stillwater Artisanal Ales, who I recently said I really like a lot of their stuff. And that's holding true.
Hey,
like
3, you know.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to them.
We said we like it. So 6.6% alcohol by volume, I think. That's about right on for what it tastes like. So, yeah,
never
good
had
job.
It, so there you go.
I have before. I have, so I was right.
I guess you can get it here, obviously.
Yeah, you can get it around here.
Obviously.
All right, well, B. I'm going to go ahead and reveal B. Oh. It's light. It's very light. That means it's a can.
Can. Interesting. That this all right. Because cans, I tend to, like, Resurrection.
Yeah.
Didn't really like it in a can so much, but the bomber that Kyle brought over enjoyed it much more. So,
huh. That's interesting.
I don't know.
Well, any guesses on 4? Something very interesting.
No,
all right.
No idea.
What did I say, number 4?
If
I
it's
said,
that
oh,
interesting, doesn't Flying Dog make interesting stuff?
They do make interesting stuff.
So I'll say it's a Flying Dog beer.
Okay, that's possible.
That's a random guess.
So B, the winner of the episode with an overall of 4 is... the Lazy Lizard Chasing Tail IPA. That's an IPA?
Wow.
Jesus.
See, they failed at the IPA, but it was a decent beer.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if I would have known that it's an IPA, I would have been like, nah, dog. But
that's interesting.
It's an interesting beer.
It got a 4 because it was blind, but then you flip it and say we tasted this instead of the stout. It would probably be rated, not that it would be given a number, but you rate a lot more poorly.
Yeah. So the brewery is Lazy Lizard Brewing out of Ocean City, Maryland. This must be a relatively new one. The can looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a, well, you'll be able to see the photo when it's up on the website.
5.9, another
5.9% alcohol, yeah. And it's, the can is basically, it just looks like lizard scales all the way around. And that's got a picture of one lizard who's torn another lizard's tail off and is running away with it. And the ones chasing after him, that's why it's called Chase and Tail IPA.
So are they brand new?
I've never heard of them before, so I'm going to assume so, but I could be wrong. You never know.
I don't know what that 0-1 means.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Is
that
the first ever brewed beer they've had?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. They have a 0-1 on there. It could be some sort of like coding.
Yeah, okay.
So that they know what it is.
Though. Bad IPA, but a good beer.
Yeah, maybe you categorized
just take
it
off
wrong.
Just call it Chase and Tail and replace IPA with beer, and then...
Just call it Chase and Tail Ale. Yeah. And just, you're good.
I'm interested about, you know, because they're local. So,
yeah, kind of local, yeah.
Which means that if this isn't a bad beer, that you could go to Ocean City and take a look at their brewing, unless it's just a couple
That's
dudes
true.
In a basement.
It could be a couple dudes just hanging out in a basement.
Who've never drank an IPA before.
Yeah, and they're just like, ah, let's just call that an IPA.
Yeah.
That's what that could be.
Interesting.
Okay, well, I think this has been a successful episode. The Take the Black Stout was good. The Chase and Tail was good for what, not for what it's supposed to be, but for what it actually is. The Cellar Door was good as well. We had a good episode.
Yeah.
I was
surprised.
Excited.
No bad beers. 3 yeah. beers, no bad.
Wow.
That's... Mislabeled beers, but not bad.
Whatever. Cool. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Remember, stay tuned for the next episode if you want to hear us do the last Game of Thrones beer as our warm-up, which we will be doing. And we're still going to hold on to the Take the Black because we still have some left. So we can just go. We can double fist those.
Yeah.
Double fist.
Taste them together. See if they go well. Then if you had the first one, we could have maybe mixed and matched.
You could be Mixed Master Mark.
Yeah. Maybe that was their grand design, was to eventually mix them all and come out with the super Game of Thrones beer.
It's a super one, yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and keep it brutal. I feel so coming to
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.